This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to
Will and Divvy
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, you can watch the show. You don't have to just listen to it. You can watch the show. And that's at twitch.tv/95.7 The Game or youtube.com/95.7 The Game, all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. It's kind of funny that Doc is joining us in an hour. We'd love to ask him about Charvarius Ward, and we don't even know what the hell to ask.
Right.
What's going on IR with a, I don't know.
That's a great question.
Yeah, and is he going on IR?
Maybe.
Right? We don't really know.
It's a consideration.
Right? We don't really know what the exact injury is or the designation or if it was a misspeak or whatnot. I guess we'll hear from Kyle Shanahan here in a little bit, and so we'll get a little bit more clarity, hopefully.
Yep. Well, listen, I know a lot of you have been wondering about Nick Sorensen, not just because Robert Saleh was fired in New York today, but after the Steve Wilkes experience last year, the way the defense looks this year, still trying to figure out Nick Sorensen. Well, what did Kyle Shanahan say today when asked about Nick Sorensen? We're going to have that for you in 10 minutes, but let's go back to the phones. Steve-O in the city. Hi, Steve. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I want to go back to, it was Baldinger, I think it was, talking about how slow the guys were.
Indeed.
And, I want to put a nuance on that. And I don't think it's about slowness as much as it's a lack of quickness. And that equates to a lack of urgency, which I think is really troubling the Niners right now. I think maybe there's a sense of overconfidence that they feel so confident about themselves. You know, Bosa's never been the most energetic guy, and we love him for that. But, you know, Brock Purdy's not the most energetic guy. Kyle's not the most energetic coach. There seems to be this lack of spark that maybe is from overconfidence, and it's translating on the field, and it's translating to a lack of W's.
This is a really interesting comment. Steve, thank you. And I do think this is what we're trying to access, okay? So I think we do this with certain teams. We want people to be outwardly fiery. Like, we want to be able to see it. And I would argue you don't always get to see it. That does not mean the fire's not there. See, I would argue Brock Purdy, what we've learned about him, there's quite an inner fire. There's quite an inner fire there. It comes in a funny package. This is not how we think that fiery quarterback leaders should look like. We don't think they're going to show up looking like they're 17 with a backpack on. That's not what we think of. But that's what we got. But I think that we've learned that there's something on the inside that burns pretty nicely, and that's great. I actually think that that's what you want, no matter if you're talking football or anything in business. You want that accountability, somebody who really has the get up and go. So I don't care what it looks like from the outside, but when the results collectively aren't there, that's when we can start asking questions. And I do think this is a difficult question to ask. It's also a difficult one to answer. But are the 49ers, in some way, shape, or form, talent or performance deficient? Or are they simply suffering from, we think we're better than we are, so we really just kind of need to show up?
That's impossible to determine from the outside looking in. You could look at a team that looks a little bit slow or lethargic or whatever you want to put on there. And I look at the defensive front, and you had two quarterback hits and you had one quarterback sack. And that, no matter who you're going up against, is unacceptable. And I know that Kyler Murray is slippery and elusive and all the rest of it, but you didn't really make him that uncomfortable. And then in the second half, mainly in the fourth quarter, James Conner, he had 12 carries for 72 yards. And that includes his last three carries, which were basically kneel downs where he just wanted to keep the ball and get ready for the field goal. But beyond that, he was getting you for 7 yards a tote. And so was it all of a sudden hot and you were worn down? Yeah, that's plausible. But, you know, ultimately, time of possession wise, you won the time of possession game again, as you have all five games. And yet you were the team that wore down. Is it because you're not in good enough shape? Do you not have the fire? Do you not have the playmakers up front? What is it? Is it the scheme? Is it the players? Is it the fitness? It's all of the above, in my opinion. And I look at a team for the second straight or the third time in the last three games, second time in three games, where the other team showed more force than you, they showed more will than you, and down the stretch, they made the plays and you didn't.
I don't want this opinion to be real. I really don't. Unfortunately, I think it's two-pronged. It's easy when we watch people on TV and they don't do what you want them to do to just form whatever you want in your own mind about, like, oh, well, Kyle Shanahan called the wrong play. Well, I always look at it and go, I don't even know what the hell he called. I know what I saw.
Right.
I don't know if did the players execute what was called? I don't know. So I don't know, is this all on the player, all on the coach, and in the end it doesn't matter because it's all on all of them, and the people in leadership positions are the ones that have to be most accountable. So that's all fair. But what I'm looking at right now is A, what I see on the field, and then B, what I hear afterward. And this is a bad combo. The bad combo is you're not effective enough on the field, and then after the game in the locker room, you're all lined up to tell everybody about how you're still the best, and you don't understand how on earth you lost this game. And in the around these parts, we don't lose the Cardinals, we don't lose the Rams. When you both look bad on the field and then sound arrogant in the locker room afterward, that's when I do start to wonder if you truly are performing on the field without urgency. Because you do kind of, whether you admit it or not, you kind of think you just need to show up. You really do. You kind of, even though you would never say it out loud, you would never even tell yourself this in a private room. But it's that thing in the back of your head that you can't really battle, which is that you still think you're the best team and you just need to show up. And even when something doesn't go right early, we'll rectify it. Don't worry. We're going to fix it. And how long down the road do you go before you get the wake-up call of actually your process is not working and it's not going to be good enough? And the question is will that wake-up call come too late?
Well, hopefully it comes on Thursday, because there are parallels to this in the Warriors season last year where, you know, you tried to find that wake-up call, and you struggled early, and you kicked four or five games early in the year that you should have won, but you didn't, and a couple against Oklahoma City where you should have fouled, you didn't, and then you shouldn't have fouled, and you did, and You know, Chet Holmgren got you two times, and you lost a bunch of games early that you shouldn't have, but it was okay because you got that championship pedigree, and then you kept fighting it, and you kept chasing it, and you wound up in the play-in game, and you went to Sacramento, and you got boat raced, and that was it. End of season, and yeah, 46 wins, nothing to sneeze at. You're right, but you probably should have won 50 if Draymond Green didn't get suspended twice, and all the other things we want to look at. You know, the should-haves were greater than the actual dids. And I'm looking at this year similarly, where you're 2-3, and yeah, it's not over, and you could beat Seattle, fine. You get to 3-3, and you're in first place and all the rest of it, and you might be 7-6 after 13, and you might need to win 3 of 4, and you might do that, and you get in the playoffs, and then you go wherever on the road, and you lose, and we'll all look back similarly and say, well, that Ram game, you should have never kicked that one.
For sure.
And that Arizona game, you never should have kicked that one. And so these are the things where, yeah, you've been a team that's been really good, and you've made it deep in 3 of the last 4, and so you've been there, and you know it, and you know you're good enough, but being good enough or thinking you're good enough is not enough. You have to go out there and do it week in and week out, and they haven't.
No doubt. No doubt. I do see parallels with this game Thursday to the game in Jacksonville last year. This has gotten here way too quick. This should not be happening week 6, but it is. And if you remember the feeling at that time, 3 consecutive losses, at least 2 of them were real head-scratchers in the way they went down. You know, it's one thing to miss a field goal in the rain in Cleveland. Okay, get mad about that. Weird game. But then when you're just wholly outplayed with Minnesota and Cincinnati moving the ball the way they did, and then you have a bye, and so you had to sit there and just eat those 3 losses for 2 weeks, and then you were going to Jacksonville, who was also coming off a bye and was also at that time a pretty good football team, and you thought to yourself, boy, they better look like their old selves, not their current selves, or else we're hitting panic buttons. They came out, they played great, they put together another win streak, they end up in the Super Bowl. I feel that way Thursday night. Like, this is, you are in real, real trouble if you lose this game. And if they win it, it's going to be a big old volume. Even though the Chiefs and Cowboys loom, you could split those games and go into your bye at 4-4, and truly, you're still okay. You're still okay. And who knows, maybe they win them both. But like, dude, if you lose this one and you're already 6 weeks in, you'd be 0-4 in the conference,
yep,
0-3 in the division, 2 games under .500, with Patrick Mahomes getting ready to get on a plane to come to town. Dude, this is, as far as regular season games go, I would argue in the last 4 years, in the NFC championship window of the 49ers and their football, this is a top 5 regular season game as far as its urgency that we have seen during that entire time.
It's big. It's big, and you go to Tampa out of the bye, which Tampa is better than you thought. And Dallas is actually a team that is still fighting and playing better and coming off a Monday night win where, you know, I don't think you can just wipe off Dallas from your schedule and think that's an easy win. And, you know, you've got 5 of your final 9 on the road off the bye, including a back-to-back Green Bay and Buffalo on the road.
Yep.
I mean, you want to like bank some wins early if you can, because it gets tough after the bye.
All right, so who wants to hear Kyle Shanahan answer the question of, could you please assess Nick Sorensen? Wait till you hear the answer. That's next on Withered and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
Wow, that's a great question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
Twitch.tv, YouTube.com/95.7TheGame, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. That's how you can take in the show if you have earwax, and you can just watch instead of listen, although it helps to be able to hear even if you're watching.
Get a Q-tip.
Yeah. Actually, no, be careful now. You know that.
Well, if you have a lot
don't
of earwax.
Don't shove it in there. Yeah, get the drops. Get the drops and flush those things out. Take some time for yourself.
If you've gotten to that point, then you have other problems.
No,
that's not
true.
If you've gotten to the point where there's so much wax that a Q-tip won't work.
Not true.
Q-tips work. Like, if you do it every other time you take a shower, then you don't have that waxy buildup.
I would like to get back to topic, but remember last week when we were talking about weight loss and you went, hey, Mr. Metabolism.
Yeah.
Why don't you sit this one out?
Okay.
I'm going to do that on this one. Earwax is hereditary and very much out of the control of the user, if you will.
I feel like there's a live read coming.
Oh, you damn right. There's one company called Debrox.
Hi, I'm Mark Willard.
I'm Mark Willard.
Thank you.
And I've got earwax.
I stepped on it, damn it.
I do. Yeah, so no, I've learned all about this. And you got to wash that thing. You got to take a little time for you now.
Okay.
You got to wash that thing out.
Thank you, Herm.
Okay? You got to do that now. And
Do you have hairy ears?
What's that? Like hairy ears?
Like ear that's hair, is that a part of it?
No, it's got nothing to do with hair.
Okay.
It's got nothing to do with hair.
It's just wax?
Yeah, it's like sweat. They're like sweat glands.
Okay.
And some people, you ever watch somebody, it's been like 80, 90 degrees everywhere, right?
Yeah.
What is going on here?
Walk down the street for 5 minutes. Two people side by side. One of them will look like, boom, they're just here, just like if they're sitting at their work desk. The other one's shirt will be completely soaked through. Why the difference? Sweat glands. It's completely different from person to person. Same thing with earwax.
Hi, I'm Mark Willard, and I make candles in my ears.
Sometimes.
I'm going to sit this one out.
Sit it out.
You're right.
Sit it out.
I'm out.
All right.
I'm out.
And wash your ears. Thank you for listening to my TED Talk. 888-957-9570 is the number. All right. Everyone's been waiting for this one. We have two. Hey, Kyle. You know that Nick Sorensen dude you hired? What about that? Could you please give us an evaluation sensation?
Cha-ching!
Of Nick Sorensen. Here's the answer.
I think Nick's doing a real good job. I've been impressed with him since the beginning. Each week, I like how he handles the defensive staff. I like how they set up the practices, and I've liked his game plans, and I liked how he's called it. So I've been real happy with Nick so far.
Okay, there it is. Yep. Everything is perfect.
Hey, Kyle, did you notice that your old buddy Robert Saleh got fired today? And I don't know, fans would love for you to, I don't know, bring him in and send Nick back to where he came from, which is further down the staff.
Yeah. Not happening.
I know. Possibly.
Right. He didn't say that, but he said that.
Yeah.
He was asked about Robert Saleh and just said it's jarring that it happened so fast. They're playing for first place on Monday night.
Right.
And I texted him, but I haven't had a chance to do anything other than that because, you know, Thursday night and stuff, and we're doing our thing and stuff, and we're backed up and stuff.
Yeah, no doubt.
But then he was also asked about Nick Sorensen, and you just heard his answer. He'd been real happy with Nick.
Yeah.
Loves the job that he's doing.
I wonder if there was a follow-up, which my follow-up would be, okay, Kyle, you know, put Nick aside, what's wrong with your defense? Because they are 20th in football in yards per play, and they're giving up more than half a yard per play more than they were last year under D'Amico. And even in the last year under Bob Saleh, this defense is giving up more yards than any defense you've had in the past 7 years. What's the deal?
Good follow-up. It's a good follow-up. He wasn't asked that.
Right.
You could read that fun little Pro Football Focus stat that you just gave me, though.
Yeah.
What'd that say?
Pro Football Focus, which grades every play from every position for every team ever, and they have graded the Niners overall.
Overall. So this is a combo platter.
Offense.
Offense.
Defense.
Defense.
Special teams.
Special teams.
They are ranked number one in the NFL in overall Pro Football Focus grade. They have an 87.5 grade, better than Baltimore, number two. Detroit is three. Then it's Pittsburgh, Seattle, and then the two undefeateds, Kansas City and Minnesota, are 6 and 7. The Niners are number one.
Number one.
Number one.
So what do you make of that?
Well, offensively, they're number one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at overall defense, they are number six. And here's where I take some issue.
Special teams,
they're number four.
What?
Number four.
Based on what?
86.7. Maybe.
What is that based on?
I guess their field goal kicker who can flat out tackle people.
That's a great question.
Thank you. He's a hard hitter.
That's a good answer.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're leading the league in field goal kicker tackles. I know no one wants to do this because everyone likes to only get mad at the bad and not get happy with the good.
Yes.
But Jake Moody was having a very good year.
Yes.
I understand that he missed what some of you feel is the most important kick of the year. But what was he? 7 of 8? 6 of 7? 7 of 8?
Something like that.
Okay, so he missed one kick. Outside of that, he was very good. They also have a field goal block for a touchdown. So there's that.
Yes.
But what else are we looking at?
Well, I think we would be looking at such things as net yards per punt attempt,
mm-hmm.
which is the amount of yards your kick goes minus the amount of yards their return goes, and they are far and away dead last. DFL, as we like to say. Dead finishing last. Thank you, Grandy. 32.9 is their net. 31st is Tennessee at 36.5. So you are a full 10% worse than the team in 31st. So mm-hmm. I look at, and I love PFF, and maybe.
Do you?
Maybe I need to break up with PFF because PFF is hurting me, Mark.
This would not be the first time that people got PFF numbers and went, what'd you say?
Thank you.
Like that
what
honestly,
the PFF did exactly. you just say to me?
They can be head scratching. I get that. I also, though, I don't think they can be that far gone. Like, number one, even if you're not a PFF believer, like, okay, fine, they're not number one, they're number eight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In other words, there's got to be something in those numbers that's speaking well about the Niners' performance that's tucked under the covers. No?
Yes. No, I get that.
Okay.
And I'm thinking more, when I look at that rating, I think more about your words. And yesterday we got into it a little bit about your comment that they could be, and maybe they actually should be, 4-1.
They should be.
So let's just say that they were 4-1.
Okay.
Let's just say that the Rams' series of errors didn't all happen, and they found a way to win that game. Moody makes the kick. They cover the punt. Ward doesn't give up a 50-yarder, and Devondre Campbell doesn't stagger into a Ram receiver and give up a P.I., whatever one of those doesn't happen,
okay. They
beat the Rams. And then you go to Arizona, and Mason doesn't fumble. So you're 4-1. If they were 4-1, and this rating was the exact same, we'd feel differently about them being the number one overall rated team.
You might as well. You might have just stumbled into what I think could be a really fun question for our listeners.
And I just wanted to, like, I wanted to take up for you a little bit.
Thank
because
you.
Well, just when I see those ratings, it made me think about what you said because, yeah, when you look at every play individually, every play is not the play that a 2-3 team would make. They're playing better than a 2-3 team.
Yes.
You are what your record says you are.
Yes.
But when it comes to PFF grades, they're probably better than the 16th best team in football.
I think that two different people think there's a different definition between you are what your record says you are. Like, I can agree with you, but I actually think that that means something different than what you think.
Tell me.
When someone says you are what your record says you are, my translation is, correct, they're 2-3, so they're a game out of first. It's simply math. You are what your record says you are. Right, you're not allowed in the playoffs if your record is not better than the other teams. So, yes, you are what your record says you are. But I think a lot of people think it means, well, you're 2-3, so yes, you are equal to all of the other 2-3 teams out there in terms of your output. You're not very good. You're an under 500 level performing team. I don't buy that at all. I don't buy it for a second. I get why some of you disagree, and I'm okay with that. I just don't see it that way. And maybe this PFF thing is one little feather in the cap of those of you who see it the way I do. And I wonder, how does this question land with you? This could be a fun one. Let's play this for a second.
Okay.
888-957-9570. Which statement resonates more with you right now with 49er football? I'll give you two. And you have to pick one. Which one resonates with you more? Statement one. The Niners are not as good as they think they are. Statement two. Niners should be 4-1. Go. Which one you like better?
I take the first one.
Okay. I take the second one.
I know
I
you do.
I take the second one. Second one. Second one. Second one. Second one.
Right. And the second one speaks to what the Pro Football Focus Raiders are saying, which is you're an 87.5. And if they were 4-1 and they probably would still be an 87.5, we all would say, yeah, they're 4-1. And the one game they lost was a road game. And Minnesota is 5-0. And, you know, they're better than we thought. And blah, blah, blah. You know, Niners are still very good. But I look at the fact of the matter, which is you get into nut crunching time, as we like to say, which has only to do with nuts, not actual male anatomy.
Thank you.
And when they get into that spot in the game, they're either too tired, too slow, too soft, too weak, or a combination of all of them, and they're not winning these games. And so you are what your record says you are, and a really good team finds a way to win at least one of those games and probably both of them.
I guess, you know, what's funny, though, when you are what your record says you are, to me, there's a little bit of a cop-out that's tucked in there, though. Because, for instance, when the Niners were 3-5, I can buy, again, you are what your record says you are, mathematically. But it doesn't mean I have to buy that an emotional response of, no, you're actually just not that good. Because then, when they suddenly play better, those of you who originally stated, nope, you're 3-5 and you suck, and then you win five in a row. Then you just get to change your answer. All of a sudden, you get to change your answer and go, well, now they're good. Well, then, but then you weren't what your record says you are, other than mathematically. So right now, I will argue, yes, they are 2-3 mathematically. Does that mean I think that they are the exact same team as, hold on, checks notes, give me a second, let me pull this up.
Oh, there's a lot of them.
I know, but I want a good example that really speaks to what I'm feeling.
Arizona's a good one.
Nah, yeah. Okay, so what you're telling me is you think the Niners and the Raiders are at the same level.
Or the New York Giants.
Let's do Raiders.
Sure.
A lot of Raider fans listening right now. Okay, do you think Joe Spadoni would sit here in this room right now and be like, yep, same team?
Probably.
No, he wouldn't. I listen to him every morning. He wouldn't.
Well, it's
he thinks it's a joke that 49er fans get mad at Kyle Shanahan.
There's a different emotion with Raider fans.
He cut his left leg off right now for Kyle Shanahan to coach that team.
There's a different emotion with Raider fans because there's a level of built-in self-hatred that is not a fair comp.
That's kind of true for every team, isn't it?
Not the Niners. Not the Niners.
I don't know. I'm feeling it right now.
They're not self-hatred. They're Shanahan hating. They're not hating on themselves. They're looking at the reasons why they are 2-3.
You believe the Niners and the two-less Miami Dolphins are the same squad?
No, the Niners are a disappointment. The Dolphins, they're a nice little story.
They're not a disappointment.
They've got no quarterback.
They're a nice little story. People are literally begging their quarterback to stop playing football. It's not a nice story at all.
Well, it's a nice story that they have two wins because they may not win again. And if you want to look at the other 2-3 teams, every 2-3 team is not created equally. The Jets are 2-3. They fired their head coach.
Right.
The Dolphins are 2-3, and they have no quarterback. The Raiders are 2-3, and they probably want to lose more than they want to win for draft purposes. Indy's 2-3, and they're stoked because they have rediscovered their quarterback, who is 47 years old, and they're loving it.
Again, no semantics argument, but if you're telling
everything is different.
If you're then you aren't what your record says you are.
No, you literally are.
You just said that every 2-3 team can be different. Well, if every 2-3 team can be different, then I get to sit here and tell you that the Niners are way better than other 2-3 teams.
Well, every 2-3 team is 2-3.
Mathematically,
at the end of it.
Yes.
The math is all that matters.
No, it's not.
At the end of it.
At the end of it, but we're not at the end of it.
Right, and we can have this discussion about semantics, and the Giants are 2-3, and they just beat Seattle in a fun little plucky fashion, and so they're 2-3 thinking, sweet, we stole one. The Niners are 2-3, and they just spit on themselves again for the
right.
Second time in 3 weeks.
Okay, but again, if you just think all 2-3 means 2-3, well, then the Niners didn't spit on themselves, because actually it turns out they stink. So it's really awesome that they've got two wins.
Well,
thank
if they
God.
Beat Seattle, then they're 3-3, and we think differently about them. And New Orleans is 2-3, and their quarterback is getting an MRI.
Right.
And they lost to Kansas City unnecessarily.
And through two, well, not unnecessarily. They got their butts kicked all night long.
He chucked it up for grabs.
The Dibber.
Don't be it. Yeah, I got the pick is in for Thursday night, by the way. The pick is in.
You should think about it long and hard this time.
You better. You better recognize.
I thought long and hard about it. The pick is in.
Okay.
I'll save it.
So, listen.
You guys are going to love it.
I totally get where you're coming from. I know you totally get where I'm coming from.
Totally.
And so, yeah, I'm going to, like, that's where I stand. I don't think all 2-3 adds up to the same thing. And I still believe, as does Vegas and so many of you, that the 49ers are better than this. And they should have won those games. They outplayed those teams for the majority of the game. Does that mean that those were good performances? No, certainly not the one last weekend. They didn't outplay them by enough. They're making mistakes that are coughing up games, but I don't think all losses are built the same either. You lose 56-3, okay. But if you're up by 14 points in the fourth quarter and you gag that, that's a different problem. It's still a problem,
yeah.
But it's a different problem. So that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And I don't even know what the hell PFF, how do they come up with this number? I don't know what the algorithm is. I just know that has to say something. because the teams that they're in that list with, I do feel that they are commensurate with those teams. And those will probably be the majority of the teams that are bouncing around at the end of all of this. I don't know if the Niners will be one of them. I think they're capable. The Ravens are fantastic.
Yep.
We know the Chiefs. That's no mystery.
Detroit and Pittsburgh.
We know the Lions. Pittsburgh will always find a way, even though they never look like they've got any talent on offense. And Minnesota is the party crasher, and I believe in them. So there's your list. But I would hope that as a Niner fan, would you be kind of encouraged by that? To know that actually there is some data that suggests that under the covers, with all the mistakes going on, there's actually also some ball moving going on. Like there's some football being played.
Yes.
Because you watch these other teams. Like there are a lot of callers to this radio station. I would like to buy them the Red Zone package. You need to watch some of these other teams play football.
Not a lot of great football out there.
Before you decide to tell everybody that the Niners suck and they need to fire their coach and Brock's not worth 60, you should watch these other teams try to move the ball. You should check it out. It's really quite a thing.
But you should also look at these numbers, and I'm diving deep into the Pro Football Focus numbers, and the 49ers in run defense, they are 25th. And in tackling, and you mentioned this before.
Yeah, there are problems.
I think they missed 15 tackles.
Yeah, they were brutal.
And in tackling, they're 23rd in just straight up tackling and pass rush. Pass rush, they're actually 6th, but it's really run defense and tackling in this, as far as the metrics go, where they're falling short.
Rod and Vallejo on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Rod. What's cooking?
Guys, great show. I listen to you every day.
Thanks, Rod.
I'm going to put this out. Just let me talk for a couple of minutes. The 49ers, the NFL does not want the 49ers to be the face of the NFL. They are being, San Francisco is politically a hated city, and it's showing with this officiating. You look at that first Super Bowl, Crabtree, that was a blatant hole on that last play. The referee standing right there, no flag. The first Super Bowl with the Chiefs, when Tyreek Hill on that long pass play, Bosa had been using the edge rush the whole game. He put an inside move on that Kansas City tackle, had a straight line going to Mahomes, and he had no recourse but to put a bear hug on him. That's why Bosa was crying after the game. That play the other day with J.P. Mason, they called Deebo for holding, a bogus call. The 49ers, Kyle Shanahan, and Jed York needs to go to that NFL office and say, hey, San Francisco may be hated politically, but don't take it out on our team.
Rod, I think you should keep – Rod, thank you.
Yeah.
You should keep cooking. The NFL Officiating Association are a bunch of Trumpers.
Oh,
and they hate South of Market, and they are taking it out on the 49ers with flags. I agree.
No, he's not – going far enough, because if you go back to 1970, John Brody against the Dallas Cowboys, which I believe was Nixon. Might have been LBJ. John Brody. There was a roughing the passer they didn't call.
You need to answer for the officials in this league.
Yeah.
They are on a mission.
Yeah.
They are on some sort of a mission, and it is not a savory one. I hate referee Dibs.
Yep, what's interesting is, for those of you who watched the game this past Sunday, nobody had blank to say about the officials because they didn't call anything. If you look at the penalties in that game, there weren't many penalties called, and it was kind of nice and refreshing.
It was.
And I don't even know the ref's name. I know he has a different name.
Bob.
No, it was like... it was like two pronouns, like not pronouns, but two like random nouns, like Hall Smith, or I'll look up his name, but it struck me.
I don't think Smith is a noun.
Getting the point. Anyway, his first Hall name was something like Locker or Hall or Cooler.
Phenomenal.
I'll look it up.
I love a good, like, you know, unique name. I'm in. I'm in on that, and I'm in on politics being the reason why the 49ers are 2-3.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
But not too much politics, because like they can get to the Super Bowl, but they can't win the Super Bowl.
Of course not.
Right?
Edgiest.
Who are they playing this weekend? Seattle? Washington's a blue state, too, right? Oh, crap. Refs aren't going to know what to call.
Right.
What to do? Blue versus blue on Thursday night. That'll be tough. Anyway, No, truly, Rod, thank you for listening. I'm kidding. I don't agree with you. I think you're overthinking a little bit. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. The Doc is going to join us in 20 minutes. Lo Neal is going to join us in just over a half hour. Your phone calls next. The poll is up on 95.7 The Game across digital platforms. Which statement resonates with you more? A, the Niners are not as good as they think they are. Or B, Niners should be 4-1. Take your pick, 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Doc Pandya, 12 minutes away. Jake Moody. Mooney Ward, Talanoa Hufanga, and more with Doc Pandya. Can I break off a little something?
Do it.
For about 3 minutes. It's got nothing to do with nothing.
Okay.
Niner related. I'm very, very bothered by what is happening in Major League Baseball right now.
Tell me.
I'm very, very bothered.
I wonder what this could be, because I'm completely excited over certain things that are happening in Major League Baseball.
Well, first of all, the season's over. How dare you even watch? Okay. Unless you're rooting against the Dodgers.
Well.
Which, tonight at 6 o'clock, you can.
Yep.
And I will. But this is very frustrating to me. First of all, you had another night of Dodger fans acting ridiculous over the weekend. But that's not just Dodger Stadium. Like, we're seeing that all over social media. Fans are acting ridiculous at games in every city and in every stadium. And I
in every sport.
Yeah, I can't stand it. The number of fight videos that you get now on Sunday night after NFL games, completely out of control, ridiculous.
You just glanced up at the screen and you saw an 8-year-old openly, like, barking at a pitcher who dared to throw inside, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, Pete Alonso got brushed back, and that kid didn't like it.
I'm flipping angry.
That's right.
Where's my juice box?
Yeah.
Seriously.
It would have been amazing as he was yelling if a mom had reached around and squirted a juice box. Have some apple juice.
Capri Sun.
Anyway, despite the fact that the behavior was out of hand at Dodger Stadium over the weekend, what I also notice is something I used to make fun of, and that is that the San Diego Padre fans would always claim that the Dodgers were their rival. And I would be like, that's cute. LA sees San Diego as a weekend away, not a rival. The rival for the Los Angeles Dodgers is the San Francisco Giants. And right now, in part due to the complacency and approach used by the Giants front office and planners, combined with the exact opposite approach of the San Diego Padres, and granted they were sort of given the gift of the Chargers leaving, so the whole city was galvanized by the one remaining team. But the Padres have stolen the Giants' energy. And I would argue right now that Dodger fans and Padre fans are much more activated by each other. And we as Giants fans are just sitting here watching what now seems like an annual get-together in the month of October between two other NL West teams. I used to think that that was a joke. The Dodgers didn't care about the Padres. Well, they do. They do. And we've literally got managers now accusing players of throwing balls at him in the dugout.
Did you see that?
I did see it.
He definitely threw the ball, whether it was at him or not, he threw the ball at the dugout
in a way you don't normally throw the ball toward a ball boy. A little bit of juice. A
lot of juice.
There's no doubting the juice in this series. There's no doubting it. They hate each other. The fans don't like each other. They're throwing things on the field, which is absurd. They're fighting each other. I don't like that part of it, but there is, for me, a view from 10,000 feet, which is, Giants, you just let another NL West team come in and take your role. Because Giant-Dodger games now, here in San Francisco, you know what they lack? They lack energy.
They're like Dodger-Padre games used to be.
No, you know what they are? They're Dodger games.
Exactly.
Because the fans in the building are just Dodger fans.
Yep. And this happened for more than just one reason. It's partly because the Padres are good, but it's mainly because of Machado and Tatis. Because those two guys are inflammatory superstars.
They're box office, too.
But the Giants have, they got a bunch of nice guys. Like Logan Webb, he's a good dude. He's an ace, but he's not going to come at you with 99 under your chin. He's going to try to get you out. And Yaz, he's a swell fella. Lamont Wade Jr., a stand-up guy. Matt Chapman, really, really solid professional ball player. And then you've got a bunch of 24-year-olds who don't have enough skill or swagger yet to be that. They've got Machado and Tatis, who are two of the most, and I don't want to say hateable, because that's not fair, but they will get under your skin like almost like anybody else in baseball.
The best thing I've seen in baseball this year is Jerickson Profar.
Was that not incredible?
Pulling a home run back in and having the chutzpah in the moment to act like he didn't catch it and just jump and look into the stands so that Mookie Betts could round second and the crowd around the whole building could start pumping their fist because Betts just tied the game at one with a long ball so that Profar could then wheel around and go,
you mean this?
Look what I got. Were you looking for the ball? It's in my glove. Go sit down, Mookie. Best thing I've seen in baseball this year.
It was pretty good. And this series through two games is just awesome. And it does give you a little bit of postseason baseball envy, a little PBE. Because, you want this. But honestly, Mark, we are not in a spot as Giants fans to deserve this. You don't deserve this. You don't have the roster. You don't have the swagger to deserve this right now.
I don't argue it at all.
A couple things about the Profar. One, you're right about fan behavior. It is way beyond the pale. And Profar does that. And so for the rest of the game, they're like throwing baseballs at him and they're showering him with garbage and whatnot. Dodger fans, you're idiots. The second piece, though, that left field, right field corner situation at Dodger Stadium, it's got to end.
It's awesome. It's pretty live.
I love it.
But you're right. There's too many fans that don't have the maturity to handle it.
Yeah. Right.
You're right.
The other piece of it is, if you're a fan down the left field line and you've got Profar coming in to make that catch, you have as much right to the baseball as he does. You need to make a play,
Dodger fan. Yes and no. Provided that you're not reaching onto the field.
Correct.
Yes. But you
can definitely tip his glove. You can be a part of the play. Like, make a play on the ball, Dodger fan.
Yeah.
Put down your phone, dude.
The lack of situational awareness of Dodger fans was overwhelming over the weekend.
Was Isaac Yiadom in the left field corner at Dodger Stadium?
Oh, that's funny.
Possibly.
Yet mean-spirited, I admit it. Grandy liked it.
Sure he did.
Grandy's grades coming up later.
Also mean-spirited.
They're all going to be D's, which stands for drunk, coming off of his New Orleans trip. I gave that a D, Dibs.
Yeah, D stands for dude. I'm so wasted right now.
I give that an H for headache.
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
Dude, you're actually going to get married? Whoa. Anyway, all right, back to Wiggins.
Yeah.
888-957-9570. And maybe this question that we're asking really is just sort of a matter of where you come from. And not that we need to make this about you and me, but I do think sometimes that I get called a homer. The takes get called a homer.
Do you have to be a homer?
Correct. I do. But that largely, I would retranslate that for you and simply say, that's sort of like the way I'm wired. Not meaning I'm going to take up for things that I don't think are good. I think you can sit here and listen to me this week, for example. We've talked about a lot of stuff. Brock not having a good game. You mentioned Isaac Yiadom, the red zone offense, Devondre Campbell. We can go on and on. Brandon Ayuk. I'm not going to sit here and constantly tell you that everything is good. What I am going to do, this is partially the way that I'm wired, I am going to look at a 2-3 season and both be frustrated, but I'm not going to be scared of the take that they should be 4-1. Even though I damn well know what that does to some people. I know exactly how that resonates with some people, and I'm okay with it. I get why it bugs you. But at the same time, that's how I feel. And it's actually funny to me because it's not a one of you that didn't wake up the next morning and go, God, they should have won that game.
Right. Or how did they lose that
game? They should have won those games.
Sure.
Now, they didn't. And exactly. We can criticize them for that. And that's worthwhile. That is all totally worthwhile. But the bottom line is, the question we're asking, which resonates more with you? A, the Niners are not as good as they think they are. Or B, they should be 4-1. There's no question to me which one resonates with me more. Of course they should be 4-1. I don't even really know how good they supposedly think they are. So that's sort of a whimsical question in a way.
It is, but that resonates with me more than they should be 4-1 because,
fine.
You know, if you were better than this, you would be 4-1. So you obviously think that you're better than you actually are because you're 2-3. And these are games where you got to play 60 minutes. It's a cliche, but it's a fact when you look at how they lost to the Rams and how they lost to Arizona. You didn't complete the game. You didn't finish the job. And J.P. Mason with a fumble. Yadam on 4th-and-5 was unable to cover. Floyd couldn't get home on the blitz. Whatever you want to point to, you didn't get the job done. Your kicker decided that he was a middle linebacker, and he got hurt, and so you had no more special teams ability in the second half. You didn't score in the second half. You either didn't use Mason enough or you threw it too much or whatever your reasons are. You're not as good as you think that you are if you're losing at home to Arizona and you're losing at quote-unquote home against the Rams, a place where you should be very comfortable against a team that had nobody that anybody's ever heard of.
No, totally fair. Totally fair. I just, to me, like, you know, I'm gonna carry that until it doesn't hold any water anymore. They should be 4-1. And so it's super frustrating that they're not. But by the same token, do I think that they are a run-of-the-mill NFL 2-3 team? No. No, I don't think that. I don't think anybody thinks that. I think if you say that, it's just your frustration kind of leading the way.
Well, we'll find out in 2 days. And if they lose to Seattle and they're 2-4, and maybe they lose the same way they've lost these last two. Maybe they're up 20-18 and Brock Purdy's got a chance to wind out the clock, and this time it's Isaac Garendo who coughs it up, or maybe Kittle with a tip ball, and Seattle picks it off, and then they kick a field goal from 51 yards, and you lose 21-20, and then you're 2-5, and you can come back in here on Friday and say, well, I mean, honestly, they should, I mean, they'd
best
be 2-4.
Best 2-5 team.
They'd be 2-4.
Best 2-4 team in the history of the league.
You could, they should be 5-1, and you can say that all you want.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, I could also say you are what your record says you are, and it just depends on how you go about looking at these games. And I looked at all the 2-3 teams in football right now, and there are only three of the 2-3 teams that have a positive point differential. They're one of them, and the Jets are another one. Jets currently with an interim head coach, and the other team is not Seattle because they're 3-2. I'll get the other one. New Orleans. New Orleans is 2-3.
Yeah, they're 2-3.
They're plus 44.
Yeah, 2 weeks in, people thought they looked like the best team in the NFL, and they haven't won since.
They've lost three in a row.
And some of those losses were a little quirky. You know, Atlanta hitting a 58-yard field goal at the buzzer and whatnot. All right. So, first of all, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.